Believe it or not, it is already April, and with April comes tax season. For some of us, like myself, we have not yet submitted our taxes because we know we're going to be owing this year. But for many people, they're receiving or have already received a tax refund. So today on the podcast, I want to talk about what do we do with something like a tax refund. So let's dive into receiving a tax refund and trying to figure out what to do with it that can do the most good in your finances. Everybody kind of has a different response to receiving a tax refund. Some people purely see it as fun money, as extra money. They can do whatever they want with it. Other people have been scraping by the past couple of months and feel a sense of relief when they receive a tax refund and think they can use it to catch up, to not feel so behind, and to get a little bit of breathing room back into their finances. Other people sometimes feel paralyzed by receiving a large chunk of cash all at once, because they're trying to figure out what to do with it, and it tends to disappear rather quickly. So on today's episode, I want to break down a few questions to think through as you receive that tax refund so that you can make sure that it's going to be used to not only feel good in the moment, but also to change the trajectory of your finances long term. One of the very first questions I ask when someone is receiving a tax refund or a large one-time influx of cash of any kind is, are you behind on any bills? Do you need to get caught up? If so, we want to focus the money there first. If you have overdue payments, if you have things that you don't normally get charged interest for, but you're about to get charged interest because you couldn't pay the balance, or you would have to withdraw money from savings, if that is the case at all, we want to use that money to get you caught up, so that we are not falling further behind while we're trying to use extra money for something else. Once you take care of that, and once you know you are current on all your bills, you're not about to default or overdraft or get charged interest on something that you don't normally get charged interest for, then we can move into asking, where else can this money go to further our financial security, to feel more settled into our finances? The less planned out or budgeted that you are, the harder this question will be to answer. Because one of the amazing perks of having a consistent, regular, realistic budget is that when you get money coming in, whether it's because you have variable income or because you have a tax refund or some other deposit, you have a place that you can jump into, check your numbers, and start asking yourself these questions like, what bill could I cover? Where could this money go so that I don't have to wait and pay something later on? Is there anything that I normally pay monthly that I can go ahead and pay in full? When you have a budget system that feels manageable, feels realistic, and you find yourself falling into a habit of updating it regularly, it simply becomes easier to answer some of these questions. So I want to put that in right at the beginning of this episode and say, if you're just getting a check and you have no budget system of any kind, I would hold on to the check and come up with some way to accurately and realistically visualize your finances to know, do I have any pay periods coming up in the next couple of months where all of the big bills happen to fall in one pay period or one month, and so I'm going to need some extra cash then? Or maybe you have multiple streams of income, and if you have two different pay schedules, if you could map it out a little bit in advance, you might identify, hey, we're going to have a pay period where one of us gets paid, but the other one doesn't during this pay period since we're on different frequencies. If we can recognize those things well in advance, we give ourselves time to come up with a solution, to come up with where that money is going to come from. So I would hang on to the tax refund. Put it into a savings account, preferably a high-yield savings account that can earn you some interest while it's sitting there, and give yourself time to come up with a way to see what's going on in your money. If you're constantly living in a state of reactionary finances, where you wait until you see the balance on your checking account get low, or you see the balance on your credit card get really high, or where you just feel that squeeze, you feel that tension, and then you try to pick up the pieces, that is reactionary finances. We want to become proactive with our finances. And when we are proactive, we can make wiser, more future-minded decisions instead of always feeling like we're behind the eight ball, always feeling like we're cleaning up something that happened in the past. We're just trying to catch up. We're just trying to scrape by. We want to shift towards thinking about the future. Getting a tax refund is a fantastic opportunity to do that, but we first want to have a tool that allows us to see where this money could actually do the most good. So So it's going to be quite difficult to genuinely answer that question, either for me to answer it for you or for you to come up with that answer for yourself, if you don't have a way to see what's going on in your numbers. Take some time, figure that out, fill something out like the Debt-Free Mom budget template, or open a budgeting app and put in all your real numbers, write it all down on paper, do something that accurately represents the difference between your income and expenses, not just for the next 30 days, but that's repeatable over a longer window of time. That will allow you to identify a pattern. Is this month going to be short and it's just going to be a random month that's short because of a car insurance bill or something irregular? Or is falling short a pattern that your finances are falling into? We want to look at more than 30 days when we're looking at a budget. So from now on, in the rest of the episode, I'm going to assume that you are operating with a budget tool of some kind where you could look at these numbers, where you would know, what is the gap between my income and expenses? How much of my income is going to debt every month? Do I have something coming up in the near future that's going to require having extra cash on hand? I'm going to assume from now on that you have those things available to you while answering the rest of these questions. All right, so put yourself in the place of someone who is receiving a tax refund, is caught up on all their bills, they're current on all their bills, and they have a budget where they can look at how much money is available pay period after pay period. They've answered questions like, is there a positive gap between my income and expenses? Do I have a consistent plan for paying off my consumer debt and building an emergency fund? If you're in that situation and you're feeling like, maybe the best thing I should do is to just put a little bit of this towards all of those things, that we want to go on vacation and we want to replace a car and this debt is really bothering us. Also, our emergency fund feels pretty low. So those are four big goals right there. And our tax refund is $4,000. So I'm going to put $1,000 towards each of those four things. If that's been your train of thought in the past, number one, it's very normal. It's very common because all four of those things are good things. We're comparing good against good. We're not comparing a good option and a bad option and getting an easy answer of, oh, obviously all the money should go here. We're comparing four good things, and that makes it difficult to prioritize them. And it can trick us into thinking that the best thing to do would be to send money to a little bit of all of them. I want you to pause and first ask yourself, if you've done that before, if you've tried sending a little bit of money into lots of different directions, and how did that feel? Did you feel like you actually made progress, or did you make progress at all? Were you able to check a box? Were you able to move on from a goal that you had and see that goal as complete? Or did you kind of feel like you're a hamster on a wheel, that even though you're doing, quote, all the right things, you're not really moving forward? That's one of the most common complaints with people who are trying to make momentum with their finances is, I'm doing it. I am putting a little bit of money in savings. I am putting a little bit of money into my debt, and I'm not getting anywhere. I want to offer you an alternative. Instead of sending a little bit of money in a lot of different directions, try to think about, what goal could you complete with this tax refund? What could you check off? What could you pay in full? What could you get all the way up to the goal that you have set and be able to move on to something else? When we get these rare influxes of cash that are larger than we normally have, especially if they're larger, multiple times larger than your paycheck, it can feel like, oh, I could send it in lots of different directions and it's going to give me momentum with all of them. In reality, a check that's $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 of a tax refund actually tends to disappear much quicker than we realize it will. So instead, we want to ask ourselves, what's the one thing that I could complete, that I could all the way check off? And we go from there. If I can check that off and get halfway finished with the next goal, then that would be great. But we don't want to equally divide a tax refund into four or five different directions, because it really downplays the power of that refund. It downplays how much momentum you're actually going to experience or even perceive if you're sending it in too many directions. So here's the triage we want to work through. Here's the checklist we want to work through. We've already gone through a couple of them. Number one, am I current on all my bills? Am I able to avoid going into new debt or pulling money from savings in order to cover something? If we have that, then we want to ask, do I have at least 1 month of an emergency fund? Do I have 1 month of expenses in an emergency fund? It's not earmarked. for a car that could also be used for an emergency fund. It's not planned to go to replace a fridge, but if it really needed to be, it could be used as an emergency fund. It's truly there only to cover emergencies. If you don't have that, ask yourself, could this tax refund get me all the way to that goal or close to all the way to that goal? The reason this comes first is that cash on hand equals options. I know that debt can feel more pressing. Debt can feel more bothersome. So when we get extra cash, whether it's small or large, we can say, oh, I just need to get out of debt. This debt is what's holding me back. So I'm just going to keep throwing money at debt. The reason that's not the good first goal is that paying off your current debt is that paying off your current debt is only cleaning up what happened in the past. It's not going to increase or change your ability to handle expenses in the future. We're all going to have expenses that are larger than our normal paychecks can cover. That is a fact of life. That's a reality of life. If you've been following me for even 8 months, you know that life has hit us hard like it does everyone else. And in those moments where we have options, because we have cash on hand, I am so grateful for our emergency fund, for the options that it gives us, where we don't feel forced into choices that feel less than ideal, where we would have chosen something different if we had had cash on hand. Having an emergency fund allows us to be flexible with what our options are when unexpected expenses come our way, because they come everyone's way. They come my way, they will come your way, they'll come my way again. I don't even know what they will be, but I have an emergency fund because even though I don't know what the expense will be or when it will come, I do know that it will come. When we can start to grasp that reality or accept that reality, we can start to operate in ways that prepare us for things we don't even know are going to occur yet. That's the role of an emergency fund, to give us a cushion, to give us options, to give us choices, to give us flexibility when we are blindsided by an expense that we were not prepared for otherwise. I think of multiple things in the very recent past that I would have had to go into debt for if I had not had an emergency fund. The biggest one that I can think of is our family van. I totaled it in Alabama last summer, completely unexpectedly. It was a wonderful van. It worked beautifully. I miss it. Even though I have a newer van now, I miss that Toyota that I used to have. And what you're probably thinking is that I'm referring to going into debt in order to replace the van. But what I'm actually referring to is the costs incurred because we had an accident. So we had to rent a van for 10 days and we had to drop it off in a location that was different than we picked it up because we were down in Alabama on vacation. The rental van itself was over $1,300. Without an emergency fund, I could not drop a $1,300 expense into my budget and just adjust on the fly and handle it. That's way too large of an expense. I had to have an emergency fund to figure that out. We were eventually paid out by the insurance company $8,000 for the van, but not for the rental. And so I would have been able to find a family van for $8,000. I would not have had to go into debt in order to replace the van. But I am referring to those costs incurred because of the accident. Those other things we have to pay for simply as a function of having something like an accident or a basement flood or things like that. So even when you have an insurance claim, there's still going to be expenses that you're responsible for. So make a 1 month emergency fund your top priority when figuring out where to send this money, because it will serve you not only today, but it will serve you in the future. You don't know what those unexpected expenses will be or how much they will be, but we should all accept that we will have them. If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. So building up that first emergency fund allows you to just sleep better at night, to take a breath, to feel a little more breathing room and margin in your life, that you don't have to feel like your finances are always on the edge of a cliff and you're just one unexpected expense away from falling over the proverbial debt cliff. If you have an emergency fund, you'll feel more comfortable. You will feel like you're not going to be stuck when that inevitable unexpected expense happens. Now, let's say that you either already have at least 1 month of expenses in an emergency fund, or you can use just a little bit of the tax refund to top off your emergency fund and get to 1 month of expenses. From there, we're going to start asking about our debt. Do we have a long list of consumer debts that have interest rates of 10% or higher? If we don't, we ask, do we have any debt of any kind that is accruing interest or has heavy monthly payments that are making it difficult to make ends meet? And this might be surprising, but I don't actually look here to prioritize the highest interest debt. The first thing I ask myself when getting ready to decide a debt that might possibly be paid off by the tax refund is this: does this budget need more ongoing margin? And what I mean by that is there a very narrow gap between their income and expenses, that so much of their income is going to bills, payments, just regular costs, that they have very little left to move the needle with their goals? That if they leave a budget buffer of $120 a pay period, and then on top of that, the only thing they're able to do is to send $100 to $200 to a goal. That would be a very narrow margin, because the reality is, especially if it's more than one person, if it's a couple or a family, there just are expenses that we can't accurately predict down to the dollar, down to the exact science. And so we have to have breathing room in our budget on an ongoing basis over and above what we're doing with our goals. So if someone has a very small budget buffer and a couple hundred dollars, less than $500 a month, that can go to goals, it's going to take them a while to chip at a laundry list of debts. So that budget could greatly benefit from more margin, from more cash flow, from having a larger difference between their income and expenses. So instead of asking myself, what's the highest interest debt and how do we pay on that, I instead ask myself, are there any debts that we could pay in full with this tax refund that would eliminate the largest monthly payment possible? So I'm going to give you some simple numbers just for an example. Let's say someone has six different debts, and two of the debts have a $2,000 balance. They each have a $2,000 balance. Ignoring what the interest rates are, if this budget is in dire need of a more substantial margin in their monthly budget, I'm not going to worry about what the interest rates are. I'm going to ask myself, which one has the higher minimum payment? Because those minimum payments are required payments. As long as you have that debt, you have to pay that minimum payment. So I'm going to ask myself, which one do I want to eliminate to free up as much cash ongoing as possible? So if they both have $2,000 in a balance, but one of them has an $80 a month monthly payment and the other one has a $180 monthly minimum payment, I'm going to pay in full the $2,000 debt that has a $180 a month minimum payment. Because what we do is we take that tax refund, and it's like earning interest. It's exactly like investing. You're going to take that money and you're going to pay off a debt that would have been owed in the future and would have been accruing interest, and you're getting that money back in future months. So maybe your tax refund is only $2,000 and you're going to use all of it to pay off that $2,000 debt. That $2,000 debt is now freeing up $180 a month moving forward. So you turned that $2,000 tax refund into $180 more of breathing room per month ongoing in your budget. Those are the questions I like to ask when we're looking at a big influx of cash all at once, as opposed to trying to figure out which debts are we going to slowly chip away at over time. Those are two very different situations, and they should have different filters that we look at them through in order to decide what we're going to do. So let's recap at that point really quick. Number one, are you caught up on all bills? Are you current? Are you able to avoid pulling money out of savings or going further into debt? Number two, do you have 1 month of necessary expenses in an emergency fund that is only earmarked for an emergency fund? If not, fill that up as much as you can. If your tax refund would entirely cover that and then some, go ahead and fill the emergency fund and then start asking the questions about debt. If the tax refund would not entirely cover the emergency fund, you still want to put all of that in there. Your emergency fund is the buffer between you and unexpected expenses. And if you don't have that buffer, you are exposed to whatever unexpected expenses come your way. So getting that cash on hand is essential. Even if the tax refund is not going to all the way fill up your emergency fund, I would still put all of it there because it's going to be more than what you had before. I posted a would you rather kind of post last fall where I said if my only two options were to either have debt, be in debt, but have a full emergency fund, or be debt free, but have no emergency fund, I would choose to be in debt with an emergency fund over being debt free with absolutely no emergency fund. Because one of those scenarios has safeguards against the future, and one of them has no margin for error. After I fill the 1 month emergency fund, or if it's already full, I then shift my focus to debt. What debts do we have? How much are they owed? And which of them could be paid in full by this tax refund? Because if we can pay a debt in full, we can eliminate the minimum payment, freeing up your cash. So we want to ask, are we in need of cash flow? So for example, when I'm doing custom budgets, if they have a large influx of cash, like a tax refund or a bonus, if that budget already has a wide margin between their income and expenses, then I will feel freed up to look at what the interest rates are and can I chip away significantly or completely eliminate a high interest debt. But I only focus on that because the cash flow problem is not there. If a budget has a narrow margin of under $500 a month available extra after a small budget buffer, then I'm going to instead ask myself which of these debts has the highest minimum payment and can be paid in full by this tax refund in order to eliminate the minimum payment and give this budget more ongoing flexibility. And because I'm way more interested in you coming up with the right plan for you, which is going to look different for everybody, than I am about having one right way for everyone to do it, at the end of the day, I just want you to ask yourself, where could this do the most good? Where could we see the most focused momentum on a goal that's been bothering us the most? So if you already have that full emergency fund and you're not behind on your bills and you're thinking, we have a plan for paying off our debts, what's really bothering us is this car repair that we're holding off on, or what's really bothering us is that we skipped going out to dinner on our anniversary because we're paying off our debts. Whatever those things are, ask yourself, what is bothering us the most? What's the goal that we want to see checked? And send the money there, because what that will do for you is give you a boost of momentum and allow you to continue using your future paychecks for those goals, because you'll be like, yeah, we can do this. We can see progress with these goals that felt like they were taking forever. So even if the tax refund is not going to check the box entirely, not going to pay the bill entirely, can you get most of the way there so that you can start to focus on your budgeting in a way that allows you to complete that goal? Now, I will say, we have not gotten a tax refund in multiple years, and we don't really get bonuses as self-employed. Some people do that. We tend to keep ours a little bit more steady. But when we did get a tax refund or a large bonus, I would take just a small amount, skim off the top, to give Kyle and I each a little bit of fun money. So we normally do just like $50 a month per person for fun money. It's not something that we have a huge budget for, even though we are debt-free. We have a full emergency fund. I just find that as adults, we have a lot of things already worked into our budget that basically are fun money. So whether that is going to concert or we're going out to dinner, we're getting coffee, I budget for our clothing separately. We have subscriptions that we choose to do. Those are fun money. So the extra fun money on top of that is just kind of spending cash. So when we get a large influx of cash, if I add an extra $150 to each of our fun monies for that month, it's going to feel huge. It feels like so much margin, so much spending cash. And really, it's a couple percentage points off the top of that large tax refund, for example. So I think allowing yourself to take, you know, 5% of your tax refund, and if you have someone that you share a budget with, splitting it in half and giving each of you spending money that you just get to decide what you do with, that can also give you that boost in momentum as well. Now, I want to leave you with this. For those of you who tend to feel more paralyzed by a large influx of cash than excited about it, more scared of doing something wrong, of sending it to one goal and then realizing that you needed it for a different goal. If you feel that way and you also don't have a budget system that would give you the chance to play around with those numbers before you make a decision, this is what we do in custom budgets. And especially in April, I'm planning on having extra time going towards answering some of those tax refund type questions of this is what my paycheck is, this is what my expenses are, but we also happen to be getting this tax refund and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. So if you feel frozen by making the wrong choice, first of all, I want you to know that you're probably not going to make the wrong choice. You probably are going to do the best you can with the information you have. But if you would prefer that someone with an outside objective perspective can give you the chance to, number one, see your numbers in a realistic, accurate budget so that you know not just what's going to happen for your next couple weeks, but what's going to happen for your next couple months. And then number two, want someone who has thought through these things for other people to help you think through how your tax refund could do the most good. That is what our custom budget service is all about. Just this past week, I had two separate budgets where I made the budget as usual for their next 6 to 8 pay periods. I prioritized their goals that were bothering them the most and tried to figure out what changes they could make in order to find that momentum. And then on top of that, they had given me the information for when they were receiving their tax refund and how much it was. They also told me what they thought they wanted to do with it. So I was able to send them their budget with their written plan. And I was able to make a few notes about this is what I would recommend doing with your tax refund so that you can find the most momentum. So one of them didn't really need the cash flow, but another one of them really did. And so we prioritized how could this tax refund grow the gap between their income and expenses, not just one time, but ongoing for future months. If you would like that kind of help, that kind of insight, you can go to debtfreemom.co/custom to find all of the options. We have 3 different options for signing up for a custom budget starting at $74 to get a fully filled out budget with a plan, with 3 goals in order so that you know where to go from here. It's not just about filling in the template. It's about giving you action steps to solve the problems that feel unsolvable. That's the thing that I'm passionate about with personal finance, is that sometimes we are too close to the numbers. We're too in the weeds of it, and it can start to feel impossible or too overwhelming. Someone with an outside perspective can offer solutions and insights and encouragement that can get you over that frozen by fear feeling and get you moving, get you taking action steps. So if you're feeling that way, head to debtfreemom.co/custom and allow us to give you those insights and to give you that perspective so that your goals can be met. So I hope that gives you just a few questions to ask yourself or to ask your spouse so that you can discuss together, what do we want to do with this tax refund that will not only feel good in the moment, but will give us progress and momentum with our goals? What's bothering us the most? Where are we the most at risk in our finances? Is it because we don't have a budget, so we don't know what's going on with our money? Is it because we don't have an emergency fund, so we are exposed to any unexpected expense that comes our way? Or is it because we have such a narrow margin between our income and expenses that we just don't have breathing room? That if the smallest thing happens, like someone grows out of their shoes, it feels like a crisis. Ask those questions about your financial situation and come up with a plan that is focused on 1, maybe 2 goals instead of spreading your tax refund so thin that you don't see progress in any of those areas. If you have any questions about how a custom budget could help you solve some of these problems, feel free to reach out to us. You can email me at Carly, C-A-R-L-Y, at debtfreemom.co. Thanks for listening to the Debt Free Mom podcast, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Debt Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.